Too many people use their own inventions to try and recover from divorce and end up becoming a patched up version of their former selves, hobbling through the rest of their lives, settling for a life of less than. This is a podcast where we explore a much better way, a life rebuilt on Christ using His Word and His sacraments in His Catholic Church to allow you to emerge from your divorce a new version of yourself, living an abundant life filled with an extraordinary amount of purpose, peace, joy, and love. This is Vince Fries, and welcome to the Abundant Life Podcast. We are continuing our theme on the biggest mistakes that Catholics make after divorce. And this podcast is going to be about the mistake of not praying. Catholics in general, I think, are really good prayers. And I think, if that's even a word, but I think a lot of people would be surprised to hear that, particularly our Protestant friends, because we're not big vocal prayers. You know, I mean, a lot of the Protestant faiths are really good at vocal prayer, you know, being able to say their prayers out loud in a spontaneous way. But man, we have got lots of prayers, written prayers that we can recite. I've got two or three prayer books that, you know, one in particular that's probably close to 200 pages long. And man, it has got prayers for everything. It's got prayers for earthquakes. It's got prayers for tornadoes. It's got prayers for financial problems. I mean, pretty much any life challenge you can imagine, this book has got a Catholic prayer written for it. And of course we have novenas, and we have devotions like the rosary, we have the Divine Mercy Chaplet, you know, we have Stations of the Cross. We have lots of prayers, lots of written prayers, and those are really important, and those are a foundation of your prayer life. But so often, especially with divorce, but even, I mean, I can only speak from my personal experience. You know, my prayer life was limited to when I was really in trouble. When I really had a problem, that's when I would pray. And of course, divorce drives you to your knees, right? So this is a major crisis, probably the biggest crisis you're going to face in your life, aside from maybe a health crisis. And so, you know, that's going to drive you to your knees. People refer to God as our foul weather friend. He's there when things are bad. Well, what we want to do, though, is get in a habit of daily prayer. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that, because some people probably are hearing that going, oh man, one more thing I got to do. This just feels like, you know, some obligation. And that's not really what I'm talking about. However, like any good habit, it's important that you do it routinely. I mean, that's what a habit is, right? If you're not doing it routinely, it's not a habit. So prayer is a good habit to form. And it does take, a real methodical approach. Basically, you just have to do it every day. And so what I'm going to suggest to you is that you focus on or set your goal to pray for 10 minutes every day. Find a time in your schedule, and each of our schedules is different. We have a routine, kind of a rhythm to our day, and find where 10 minutes of uninterrupted time is most available to you. For me, first thing in the morning, I get up, I'm the first one up, and I go into my living room, which we've kind of converted into what we call our prayer room, and I pray. I carve out that time, and my day starts off like that. It's kind of like, you know, many of us, we get up and our day doesn't really start off right until we have our cup of coffee. And so when you get in the habit of prayer, it's the same way. Your day is, something's off in your day if you haven't taken that time to pray. Now, you know, it doesn't matter when you do it, in the morning, at lunch, you know, in the evening, whatever, as long as it's 10 minutes of uninterrupted time where you can really be present to our Lord. Now, for some people, that may be in the car, And you know what? That's okay. It's not what I would consider the most optimal time to pray, because it's not really uninterrupted time. I mean, you're driving, so just the fact of driving has your mind distracted, and you have to pay attention to what you're doing. You know, if that is the only time you have, or if that's how you want to get started in this habit, I'm all for it. I mean, some prayer is better than no prayer, right? So, but why the emphasis on prayer? What is it? You know, of course, you know, all through Scripture, you know, we hear, ask and you shall receive, knock and the door shall open, right? So yes, you need to make your requests known to God. Not that He doesn't know them, but this is really the foundation of a relationship, okay? So let's look at your, you know, really important relationships in your life right now. It was your marriage, I'm sure, but now it's not. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But let's look at maybe if your parents are still alive, your mom or your dad, or a brother or a sister, or a best friend. If you did not put any routine time into that relationship, what would happen to that relationship? It would start to fade. It would start to erode. It wouldn't be as close. It wouldn't be as connected. And those are important relationships to you, so they need to be nurtured, right? We all understand that. So, you know, if you didn't talk to your mom, but for once every 6 months, you know, how close would that relationship be versus if you talk to your mom once a week or routinely, right? So those important relationships need nurturing. And it's a two-way street. When a relationship is two ways. So you're giving to that relationship, but you're also getting from that relationship. Let's go back to your mom. By giving to that relationship with your mom, you're not only nurturing the relationship with her, but she's nurturing the relationship with you. She's giving to you in some way, even if it's just a reminder of her love, even if it's just companionship, if it's, you know, wisdom. You know, that's part of the gifts of the relationship that happen. And those gifts come about by nurturing it, right? You know, if you had a garden and you never watered it, never weeded it, never took care of it, what would happen to those plants? You know, they might sprout up, but then they wither and die. And any of the fruit or anything you were hoping to get out of that garden wouldn't happen. And so, you know, you tend to the garden and it gives back to you. So that's what a relationship is. Give and get. You know, it's a mutual beneficial relationship. Well, prayer forms a relationship. So often we think of prayer as just asking, God, I need this. Lord Jesus, please help me with this. And that's part of it. Just like your relationship with your mom. But if all you did is take, and didn't really spend some genuine quality time with your mom, you would use up that relationship, right? And that relationship would really suffer. So that's the basis of prayer. The basis of prayer is forming a relationship. Now, why is that so important now? Why is this people not praying such a mistake? Divorced Catholics not praying such a mistake? Because they've just come out of a marriage, or their marriage is crumbling, or their marriage has died. The most intimate, intense relationship in their life has just ended. And there's a huge void in your life, right? You've experienced a level of intimacy, probably, that you never experienced before in your life. And that's by design, because marriage is a participation in a sacrament, which is a sign of an invisible reality, a visible sign of an invisible reality. So you being a couple in the world is a sign of God's love. And you participate in that when you're married. Okay, I don't want to get too deep into this. That could be a whole book. But that's really the basis of marriage in the Catholic teaching of marriage. It's a sacrament. It's a sign. And so you've experienced a level of intimacy that you probably have never experienced before in your life. And now that's gone. So there's this big void. And it's natural to try and replace that intimacy, replace that intensity of a relationship to fill that void. And because now something huge has been lost. And many of us turn to earthly relationships. And some of that's really good, and some of that's not so good. And the earthly relationships could be, you know, a relationship with our mom or a dad or a sibling or a best friend to help us now that we have this gaping hole in our life. That those healthy relationships, those loving relationships, can really help fill that void. We can also make such not good decisions and seek out other relationships with other people and dating relationships after our divorce to try and fill that void. And I give a whole nother podcast on why dating after divorce is a mistake. In fact, I see it as the number one mistake, because it leads you down the wrong path. It really is a huge distraction at a minimum. At the worst, it really sets you up for failure in the future and sets back your healing from divorce. So, but it's so important to understand that you have this void in your life and you are vulnerable. And it's key to seek out the right relationships that will keep you moving down the path of recovery, moving down the path of healing, moving down the path of rebuilding your future in a really healthy, powerful way, and ultimately claiming this abundant life that our Lord wants for you to have. Your divorce was a detour off of that, okay? Not a dead end, but a detour. And now you're working your way back on the right path, down that path towards abundant life. That's the whole goal of recovering from divorce, of quote-unquote properly recovering from divorce, is the way that looks like is you getting back on the path towards this life of abundance that our Lord wants for you. Abundant peace, abundant joy, abundant purpose. Okay? So by praying, we build a relationship. So by praying to our Lord, we're building that relationship with Him. And what I recommend is making Him your number one relationship, period, but certainly after divorce, recultivating it or cultivating it and developing that relationship with our Lord. Seek Him out as your number one relationship. He will never abandon you. He will bring you to this abundant life that you're searching for, that you're seeking, that you're grieving over, thinking you've lost. Okay? He is the key. So prayer develops your relationship with Christ. And so, you know, it could really be any kind of prayer. It could be the devotional prayer, and that's great. But the point is you want to get in this habit, this routine, every day of praying, 10 minutes. Start with 10 minutes. Now, ultimately, I'd recommend, you know, other forms of prayer like a meditative prayer and so forth. But let's not even get into that, okay? In my Recovering from Divorce program, we cover that in full. But here, just get in the routine of praying for 10 minutes every day. And part of that prayer should just be a vocal prayer with our Lord. Just talk to Him like you would your mom or your dad or your trusted friend. It really helps you nurture that relationship with Him. Okay? He doesn't, quote unquote, need our prayers. Okay, we need to pray to Him because it develops that relationship. It connects us with Him. It brings Him present in our life. It makes us aware of His presence in our life. He's always there. He's always pursuing us. He's pursuing you right now. He is trying to draw you closer to Him. And that's what prayer does. It helps you recognize His reality in your life. Helps you recognize His presence in your life, okay, so that you can really fully participate in that relationship. And like any relationship, it's going to give you life. It's going to add to your life in a fundamental way. And it's gonna not only by making you more aware of our Lord, His reality, He's truly present, He's real, and prayer is going to help you really be aware of that, okay? It's going to be that reminder, but it's also going to help you as you move forward. You have an accountability partner, if you will, that you can go to every day and share with him, you know, your struggles, your successes, your challenges, your ideas, your plans, everything. And through the Holy Spirit, he will guide you. And we talked about this a lot in my podcast on confession, about why confession is so important. And not going through it is one of the other big mistakes that Catholics make. Because that's kind of the one, prayer and confession are the 1-2 punch, if you will. Because confession makes you much more sensitized to how the Holy Spirit's trying to influence you in your life. And prayer is taking that time to listen and open up, okay? And allow yourself to be guided. So it's prayer is not just speaking words, okay? A key component to prayer is listening. It's just simply being quiet, okay? Every day I sit for 5 minutes. I put a timer on my watch. And I've got these noise-canceling headphones, and I put them on, and I just sit quietly. I really focus on clearing my mind and just sitting quietly and listening for how the Holy Spirit's moving in my life. And you know, it's not really an audible hearing in my ears that I hear. It's really an understanding, an awareness in my mind and in my heart that I'm being pulled somewhere, that I'm being something, I'm being made aware of something important in my life. So when I just shut everything out and just listen in silence for 5 minutes, I become aware. So like I talked about before in confession, by going to confession routinely, you remove the sin which is blocking the Holy Spirit from influencing you. So by doing that and then taking time out to pray, you now have this real potent combination of the Holy Spirit's really able to influence you and you're able to hear it. You're able to be aware of it. Now you're really being guided by our Lord. It's very powerful. Very powerful. So if you're searching, if you're wondering, if you're confused, if you're frustrated, if you're longing and you can't ever seem to, you know, put your hand on what it is you're longing for, if your heart is restless, St. Augustine says, then prayer is a key way to tap into that relationship with our Lord that will bring you the peace, that will bring you the answers, that will guide you down this new, uncertain, many times scary path that you're on. So prayer does all of that. And start, make it simple. Start with 10 minutes a day. And if all you know to do is pray Hail Marys and Our Fathers, do it. You know, I would just urge you to take some time, even if it's just a minute or two, sit quietly and listen. That's why in the car, it's really hard to do that because, you know, you're surrounded, your senses are surrounded with you know, a lot of stuff, you know. You got to be aware of your car, and, you know, there's a lot of noise, other traffic, other people cutting in front of you. There's just a lot of distractions that really are not the best for being able to hear or be aware of how our Lord's trying to move in your life. So 10 minutes of prayer each day is the key to building that relationship and allowing our Lord to guide you. Because if we don't, then we end up guiding ourselves. And, you know, look at where it's gotten us so far in many cases. I know for me, you know, if it's just based on me, what I want to do, and, you know, when it comes all about me, it usually becomes all about making a bigger mess. So That's the key. That's one of the essential keys is in prayer is tuning into our Lord, who's going to guide you down the path to abundant life, a life of abundant peace, life of abundant joy, a life of abundant purpose. So there you go. Hope that helps. God bless.